Okay. So let's continue to talk about the leadership of the Rebbe Bunim and the machlokas that the machlokas that developed as a result of his unique type of leadership. The type of his kashrus, the type of attachment that developed between the chassidim, particularly the younger chassidim, and the Rebbe Rabbunim was extraordinary. And as a result of that, many of the young chassidim, the young married chassidim, were neglecting their parnasa and were neglecting to some degree their families in order to be able to spend more time with the Rebbe. With Rebbe Abunim. This, of course, did not go over well with wives, father and mother-in-laws. This did not go over well. And this would cause a great deal of machloikis and a great deal of anger. I'm going to share with you a story that we have here in this forum. A story in this forum about one of the confrontations that took place between the Rebbe Rabbunim and the father-in-law of one of these young men. And it must be understood that in those days it wasn't like it was possible to listen to tapes of tzaddikim or to go drive over to hear a shiur on the phone or something. It wasn't possible. So in order to receive from a tzaddik, and also wasn't kedai, you couldn't go for like two days. When you would go, you had to go for a chunk of time. And to see the avodah of the tzaddik was being there throughout Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and so on. Oftentimes, it was people traveled a great distance, and they didn't see their family for a month. They didn't see the family for a month. Someone's told me that they say that they make a joke that Elul is the Rosh Tevis, Ani Uman ve Ishti Lishviga, right? I go to Uman and my wife will stay by my mother-in-law. So that was not from the Hasidim. That was, I don't know, some wise guy made that up. Might even be me. So this was not something that fared well with a lot of people. But it should be understood in context of the revolution that the Rebbe Rabbunim was causing. It was the Chassidim went there to learn by him, to spend great deals of time. It wasn't just a question of hearing a nice vart, to spending a beautiful Shabbos together. It was really necessary to spend weeks and months in order to absorb what the Rebbe was teaching. So let me tell you this maisi here about one of these situations, that there was a certain young and Talmud Chacham, married Talmud Chacham, that went to be by the Rebbe Bunim Pshischa, and he spent some time there. And what would often happen is that the father-in-law would go searching. The father-in-law would go to try to bring him back, to bring him back home. So this particular father-in-law came to the Rebbe Bunim and he said the following: "Halo b'derech shalachem atem mekalkelim anoshim bali tzura. Your derech in Pshischa, you're ruining a lot of these talmid chacham. You're ruining them. Lishos eslachem ulahashlich me'achori gavim esakol. They're staying by you and they're throwing away all their entire life. As aharam, the parents, aisha, the wife, you love them, the children, chaldaigas parnasas abayas. They're not involved in their parnasa. They're not worrying about taking care of their family. Va'atem oidaimim, sha'atem alamdim oisam kan, yirashamayim mahi. And not only that, but this man, this father-in-law was screaming at the Rebbe Rabbunim that you have the nerve to say that you're teaching them yirashamayim, how to be God-fearing. Ma'achasar atzlenib yirashamayim. So the man said, why? What's missing by our Yirat Shamayim, by our fear of God? But by those who are not your followers, we don't have Yirat Shamayim, we don't have fear of God, we don't learn Torah. In our circles, we're constantly learning the Sifrei Musar. For instance, Reishis Chochma and Chobos Levavos and so on. And this father said, in the Musa Svarim, we're able to receive much more Yirat Shamayim, much more fear of God than the people who come running to you. Like, who are you? And he continued yelling about a few things. Now, once he calmed down a little bit, so listen carefully to the response of the Rebbe Bunim. It's very interesting, and there's a lot in it. Like everything he said, it was a tremendous chokhmah. So the Rebbe Bunim answered the following way. He said, Shema Yididi, listen, my friend. He said, I want to tell you a story. He says, as you know, before I became a Rebbe, I was a pharmacist here. I had a drugstore, a pharmacy in Pshischa. And I want you to know that I had an ASIC here with two particular doctors. When I was a pharmacist, there were a number of doctors, but I want to tell you about two doctors that I knew who were both writing prescriptions, and I was handling the prescriptions. So he said that in truth, both of them learned together in university. Both of these doctors were together in university, and they both were successful. They received the diploma the same at the end of the same semester. And they're both qualified, in my opinion, they're very good and qualified doctors. And they began their practices around the same time, different parts of town. So he said, however, what developed was very interesting. He says, the first doctor was a person who would go to anybody in the town who needed help. He would take care of anybody. And not only that, but it didn't matter to him at all how much money the patient would give. If it was somebody that was poor, whatever they gave him, if somebody couldn't afford it at all, he said, don't worry. He was very easy with that, and not only that, he would go to visit afterwards. But Teva, Rebbe Bunim said, this doctor is extremely compassionate and had great pity on those who were sick and couldn't afford to pay. The other doctor, he says, the other doctor, who was also qualified, he was a good doctor, he would not agree to visit a patient unless the patient would beforehand agree to paying Shnei Zehuvim, two gold coins, even to come for a house call. It was only on the condition, it was clear, that he wouldn't step into the house unless he would get Shnei Zehuvim, two gold coins, which is a lot of money in those days. And the Rebbe Bunim said, no, what was interesting, the Rebbe Bunim said, that as far as the careers of these two doctors are concerned, they went in different directions. He said you could guess what happened. He says the second doctor who charged a lot, who you couldn't even go into unless you paid. The second doctor was extremely popular and gained more and more popularity. He was making a fortune of money. On the other hand, the first doctor who was just as qualified, but would go and not even charge a penny if that's what the case was. So the second doctor, he wasn't doing well at all, even though he was qualified. So Rebbe Bunim said, now listen, I took care of the prescriptions for both of them. I was the pharmacist who handled their prescriptions. So he said, and let me tell you what was happening. He said, you see, The first doctor, the one who wouldn't take money, who didn't care about the money so much, the first doctor, when he would see a patient, he would write the right prescription. Rebbe Bunim said he would write a good prescription. I got them. Eventually, sometimes they would come to me. But very often he said that since the people didn't pay any money, they didn't think, you know, like he's so qualified and what's so good about him. He's for the poor people. And what happens if we don't take the medicine that he prescribes? He's not such a big chacham anyway. And I don't need the medicine so desperately. He thinks he knows. He doesn't really know. So what happened was that a lot of times, Rebbe said, I wasn't getting the original. They didn't even bring in the original prescription. And then what eventually happened is that these people were getting sicker. And they didn't tell the doctor they hadn't been taking the medicine. He would go, and he would then prescribe something. He thought he didn't know why it wasn't working. He thought it should be working. It should have, but they never even took the first medicine. So he was prescribing other things. And then there were complications in these patients' health and so on. So the reputation, the word got out that this guy is not such a good doctor. He's just as good, maybe even better. But because he didn't charge anything, it was nishgunishvert. It lost its value, and people didn't fill the prescriptions, and then it became complicated. They got sick, and people said, yeah, I use that doctor, and look, I have such a machla. They didn't even go to get the medicine. He says, this is something I was fully aware of this, and I was trying to help, because I knew what was going on with the prescriptions. When Mashiach came to the other doctor, who even before he stepped foot into the place, it was Shnei Zehuvim, Kesef Molei, right? You had to pay Kesef Molei. So you understand that if a Jew puts down two Zehuvim, and the doctor writes a prescription, these guys, they would come in 10 minutes. They were in the drugstore. They came to fill a prescription, he said, because they had to put out the money, and there was a hush of a thing. And it was the same prescription as the other guy. But here they came right away, because these were poor people mostly. They came in town, they're not rich people, but they came and they filled a prescription. I filled a prescription for them, and they had, and these people had a Yeshua. So the word went out like, Skivaldik, you know, and they're both just as qualified. So the Rebbe would explain like this. He says there are people, there are Jews in the world who are chalei hanefesh, which doesn't mean that they're mentally impaired. It means that they need, all of us need. We need someone to help our neshamas out, to cure us. We have all kinds of problems now with the way that we, with our Yiddishkeit, with how we're living. So he said that there are chalei hanefesh, said haskukim l'roifei nefesh meula kamayni. There are a lot of Jews who are sick in Ruchnius, spiritually sick, and they need a good doctor. They need someone good. They need a good mumcha. Rabbi Nachman and Likutei Moran, I once gave a shiur on this, that Rabbi Nachman and Likutei Moran thinks that people don't realize that the greater the sickness, the greater the mumcha you need, the greater the expert that you need. And it's the same thing when it comes to Ruchnius. The more serious the problem, the greater the Rebbe that you need, the greater the mumcha that you need to help you. So the Rebbe said that I'm a qualified Reifei Nefesh. However, I am like the doctor who charges right up front. You have to pay. I'm the one that charges a lot of money. Right up front. Why? So that my prescription will be worth something by people. They know that when they come to me, they have to pay a price. And when they come and they pay, when a Jew pays a price, so the prescription is taken seriously, and they'll go and they'll start to get to work on filling the prescription. They'll run and get the prescription, the medicine. And it won't make a difference that it's expensive, because they take it seriously. They'll get the medication and they'll drink it. It certainly will help them. It's a tight prescription. It will help them. What I have to offer, I charge a lot, but it works. So the Rebbe Rabbanim said, so you can ask me, what do I charge? Why is it so expensive to come to me? What's the expense of coming to me, to Rabbanim? So he said, I'll tell you what the expense is. The bizyonis, the humiliation, and the redifus of their fathers-in-law who are making their lives miserable. Right? Those are the redifus. Anybody who's trying to tell the truth, who's trying to teach Torah Amos, is going to have redifus and bizyonis. That's the way it is in the world. There's going to be redifus and bizyonis. There's a price to pay for teaching truth. If you're teaching something that doesn't make a difference, then you don't have to have any bizyonis or redifus. But if it's something which is true, they're going to be redifus and bizyonis. So he says, so the price that they're paying is mitzad chosneim, from the fathers-in-law, who are against us, he's telling this to his father-in-law, who's just screaming at him, who come to me from time to time to yell at me, who come to me with chutzpah, with tainus, with complaints against me and against their sons-in-law, this is the high price. This is the price that you have to pay for the treatment that I'm trying to give, for my prescription. This is the price for my treatment. Bizyonis and aggravation and people causing problems and so on. But they're going to have a refu, they're going to have a Yeshua. Har beyoise, much more than the cheap cure that they have for the last 500 years. There's an old Musa Sefer that's sitting on the table in shul, and anybody could just pass by and open up, look a little bit from something that was in the Sefer. That's very, very cheap. Very cheap. There's very little price that's paid for such a refu, for such a cure. Therefore, he said, he's not saying that he's better than this Musa Sefer. Rabbi Urim says, I don't have a better prescription than Musa Sefer. Ella what? When they come to me, they're paying a good price. They're paying their price of the humiliation and the suffering. And therefore, the Rabbi Urim said that's why, not because I have more Yerushalayim trying to give to me, but when they pay for it, they're gonna get it. This is what the Rebbe said, and this is what the Rebbe said to that particular father-in-law in response to what we're going to talk more about the machlokas against the other Rebbe Bunim, and it wasn't just from the families, but the Bechlal. Now, how was the Rebbe viewed? I mean, this is something we can talk about for a few weeks, and we don't have time. But the devotion of the Talmidim was extraordinary. It's safe to say that among all the Rebbes through history, even though the Chassidim were always devoted, but this type of devotion that he brought out of the Chassidim was something which was very unusual. And part of it had to do with the fact that there were Radifas. You know, you saw this by Chabad also. By Chabad, by Breslov, by Pshischa, that Davka, those Chassidus, those schools of Chassidus that were the subject of Radifas, of persecution, not only by the Misnagdim. The Chassidim got a lot from the Misnagdim. That was all the Chassidim got. But even Hisnagdus and Radifus among the Chassidim, that Chabad had Radifus, Breslov had Radifus to this day, and Pshischa had big Radifus. These are the three that were these three groups of Chabad, Breslov, and Pshischa that were the most original. These three had suffered from the most Radifus. They suffered most, and instead of weakening them, they became the most militant Chassidim. These were the greatest warriors of Chassidus. So the Hisnagdus, the opposition to the opposition to those paths, not only did it not cause a weakening among the Chassidim, not only did it not cause a weakening among the tzaddik, among the rabbis, but it had mamish the opposite effect. That as a result of the Radifus Kasha Yanoi, so just like in Egypt, as the Egyptians were tormenting us, so we grew and we became more and more powerful. And this is exactly what happened to Peshischa. The best way to strengthen Peshischa was by the Radifus, was by the persecution, because the Chassidim of Peshischa, the Chassidim of Peshischa were strengthened and were empowered by the Radifus to defend the path that the Rebbe Abunim had and really came from the Yiddish Kaddish, that they had started that new revolution in Chassidus. The Kotzke said, the Kotzke, of course, was a student. He was by the Chayzin. He was also by, primarily he was a Talmud of the Rebbe Abunim. He says, HaRebbe from Lublin. The Kotzke said that the Rebbe from Lublin, the Chayzin, Hayulai Gavonim Harbe. There are many, many colors. The Seer of Lublin had many colors like a rainbow. Many different colors. What does that mean? He said that there are many parts to the man. He was complicated in a very beautiful way. And each one of the chayze, each one of the seer's students took one of the colors for himself after the Rebbe died. One took the midas of the chayze, the personality, the characteristic traits. One took the devotion to fulfilling mitzvahs. But the essence of the Rebbe, he had many colors, but the essence of the Rebbe from Lublin was what? Was his Yirat Shamayim, was his fear of God. And this was taken, the fear of God was taken by my Rebbe, the Kotzke said, the Rebbe Abun. The Chedush HaRim, another great disciple, the Ger Rebbe, the Chedush HaRim said about the Rebbe Abun, everybody knows, when we spoke about the Yid last year, that the garment of the Yid HaKadosh, the way that the Yid HaKadosh was known in the world was through his brilliance of Torah, the genius, the gainess in learning, his lamdas. The whole world knew, even the Misnagdim knew, that he was a genius of the first order in learning. Rabbeinu HaRebbe Rabunim Chochma Hayilavusha. The Rebbe Rabunim, his wisdom, his cleverness and his wisdom was how he was known by all the Chassidim. Of course he was a great Talmud Chacham, but this was how he was known. His wisdom. And that's connected to Yiras Hashem, his fear of God. Because why? Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Right? The underlying essence of all of wisdom is fear of God. So he took from the Rebbe from Lublin that Yiras Hashem, that fear of God. And the way that it was manifest in the lives of the Chassidim was the unbelievable chachmah, the unbelievable wisdom of the Rebbe Abunim. Shaholam kulo yodu bo shahaya chacham noira. Everybody knew the Chiddush Arim said that the Rebbe Rabbunim was a Chacham Neir, was an awesome Chacham. V'omar b'shem Rabba. And then the Chiddush Arim finished and said, however, I heard myself from my Rebbe, from the Rebbe Rabbunim, that he said this. The Rebbe Rabbunim says that people think of me as a great Chacham. The Rebbe Rabbunim knew this, that people consider me to be a great Chacham. Meid ani alai shamayim v'aretz. I bring heaven and earth to testify. Shelo asisi shum davar b'midas ha-chachma. I never did anything in my life with chachma, with cleverness. Ela ach verak b'tmimus mamish. I did it in a simple and pure way. Tmimus, in a way of uncomplicated and purely simple and faithful way. And there's no contradiction. The fact that he was the greatest chacham, and he said that I didn't, because people would think that he was like a, you know, sharp, that everything was with sharpness, because he was famous for that. Rabbunim was famous for his cleverness, for his sharpness. He said, you shouldn't think that came from any kind of like a sechetik thing, like sharpness, or a desire to be clever. That everything that I ever did came from that simple amunah, the tmimas, the simplicity of who I am. And the Chiddushim also said, Hareb Rabbunim, my Rebbe, the Rebbe Rabbunim, had the keys to all heavens. He was able to open up all heavens. Why not? A Jew who doesn't consider himself anything, who holds himself to be nothing, he's the one that's given the keys. The one who holds himself to be nothing will be given the keys. And listen how he ended Chiddushim. And I know that my Rebbe Rabbunim had the ability to bring the dead back to life. Rak shahaya an erlich man, but he was an erlich. He was an erlich. He was a God-fearing, trustworthy person. He didn't take something which wasn't his. In other words, he says, the Chiddushim said that my Rebbe Rabbunim had the key, even that key that the Gemara says belongs to Hashem, was given to him, the key of bringing the dead back to life. So why did Hashem trust my Rebbe with all these keys? The answer is because my Rebbe would never open a door when he knew there wasn't for him to go in. But my Rebbe had, he says, they had the strength. We knew that my Rebbe could bring the dead back to life, but he was an Eilechi. So Hashem trusted him with such a key. So the Kasha says, it would be good if Hashem would trust the key to someone who's not so trustworthy. But that's how Hashem operates, I guess, in the world. So the Rebbe Rabbunim had the key, but he didn't use it. Or maybe he didn't use it in that way to mamish bring the dead back to life. But the Kotzker, I've mentioned many times here in Shul, that the Kotzker said that Hashem knows that I have the ability to bring the dead back to life, but I'd rather bring the living back to life. And that's a bigger chachma, the Kotzker said. It must be that he heard that from his Rebbe, the Rebbe Rabbunim, that even though he had the ability to bring the dead back to life, it's much more of a chachma to bring the living back to life. We don't think of it like that.
A lot of people make the living dead.
Oh, Shmuel, you know that. That's true. And that's Niskan Kreisa Chachma. That's the easiest thing in the world, to make the living die. And you wouldn't know. They walk around breathing, playing ball. They're happy. They're eating. You wouldn't know. We're all a little bit, more or less, you know, the living dead zombies. And we're waiting for Tchias HaMeisim, which the Vilna Gaon himself said what was going on. Before Mashiach, he says, it's mamish, we're holding by... Vilna Gaon spoke about the end of days. He says that they're going to be meisim mamish, dead mamish. He wasn't talking about the ones in the graves in the cemetery. He was talking about the ones that are walking around, you know, davening mincha ma'ariv. That they're going to need a tchiyah. They're going to need to be revived. To be revived. And the Rebbe Rabbunim was one of the great mechai ha-meisim. So it wasn't that, you know, he wasn't bringing the dead back to life. Although, of course, the tzaddikim, this is not one of the chassidim, this is the chedushim now. The chedushim is not a plain person. Chedushim was the God of Hador, he was a genius of geniuses. Not only that, he hated and despised all this miracle in Yonim. He didn't go for that stuff. The Chedushim was, if you know in Ger, there's no Chochmas over there in Ger, straight. And the Chedushim said this about the Rebbe, that the Rebbe had the ability to bring the dead back to life. That wasn't his inyan. And Hashem trusted him with those keys. So I'm trying to understand this, that it doesn't mean that the Rebbe, if Hashem gave him those keys, it can't, what does it mean? He didn't use it bechlal? No, it meant he didn't use it in a way that would shock and alarm the world in a way that Hashem doesn't allow, which is to bring the ones in the grave out. That he didn't do. He was an Eilech Haman. He was God-fearing. But it must be that he used it in different ways. So he used it to bring the living back to life, which the Kotzker said is a bigger chachma. Some more things that were said by a couple of the students before we actually go on to talk more about the Hisnagdus, the opposition, and then the famous wedding in Ostila that brought an end to the to what could have been the cheirim, the excommunication of the Rabbi Abunim and all the and all chassidus of Pshischa. It could have been the end of it, but it was. We'll talk about the wedding. Was an amazing, amazing chasna. There was a great tzaddik of Shailup from Shedbers, who you might remember was a chavrusa, a beloved chavrusa of the Yidda Kaddish, of the Holy Jew. Reb Shaila was the closest friend of the Yidda Kaddish. So he once asked one of the greatest disciples, you know, you hear the names of the Rebbe Abunim's students. These are all the G'doyle HaChassidus in Poland. So one of his great students, one of his great disciples was the famous tzaddik Reb Yitzchak from Vorka, who was, of course, the beginning of that amazing chutz of the court of Amshinov. Reb Yitzchak Vorka, who is the holiest and the sweetest, the most amazing, and the tzaddikim of Poland. So one time, Reb Shaila, he asked the Rebbe Yitzchak from Vorka, "Ma zois marishim oylomus kol kachal Rebbe Abunim? What does everybody make such a tumult about the Rebbe Abunim?" Reb Shaila was already an old man. He was best friends with the Yidda Kaddish, and he says, you know, but when he didn't ask it in a bad way, he was asking like he wanted to hear something good, you know. So he said, "What is it everybody's making such a tumult about the Rebbe Abunim? What's that tumult? What are they tumulting?" So the Rebbe Yitzchak from Vorka said this. My Rebbe Rabunim has the strength of Elio Hanavi. So Reb Shaila heard that, he began to, you know, he began to shake, and he says, "Are you talking? What are you saying such a thing, Elio Hanavi?" So Reb Yitzchak Vorka explained. Listen how beautiful. Eliyahu Motzes Elisha. Now, you remember the story in Navi. The greatest disciple of Eliyahu, of course, was Elisha, who ultimately got twice the strength of Eliyahu in prophecy in Nevuah, and in Tchias HaMesim, to bring the dead back to life. So, you remember that Elisha was a farmer. Elisha was a farmer who was working for his family. As far as we know, it was not connected to any of the prophets, any of the Nevi'im of that time. He was a working person. Eliyahu found him, Motzes Elisha, Chorish B'Shvarim. Eliyahu went looking for Elisha.
11 miles.
Yeah. And he found, right. And he found Elisha. What was Elisha doing? He was handling with the behemoths. He was with the oxen. He was plowing. That's what Elisha was doing.
He was plowing with them. There were 11 and he was the...
That's right. That's right. Right. Yeah, that's a beginning also. Why Dafke Shvarim? Why that number? You're right. Apoyer. In other words, Reb Yitzchak Vorka says, who was Elisha? Apoyer. What was Apoyer? A farmer, a peasant. Apoyer. Hamadabrel Shvorov. Who was Elisha? He used to talk to his behemoths. Apoyer. He used to talk to his behemoths. That's what he did. Now you remember what happened there in the Navi. That Elionavi was passing by, and Elisha was there with the behemoths. And Elionavi took the Adaris Elio, that amazing coat of Elio, the robe of Elio, and he threw it onto Elisha, and it touched Elisha. So it says, Kol kach nispol v'nislah of Elisha, that Elisha became so on fire. Ad sh'teikef from me, ad shochet es ha-shvarim, that he immediately went, and he did what? He went, and he shechted all of the shvarim. The oxen. Sorf as kolam achreish, as clay hamachreish, he burned all of his plows. I mean, I don't know how his parents were with that, but ubishul habasar, and he shechted afterwards, and he cooked. He prepared all the meat from these animals, and v'chilik chol ha'am shi'ochlu, and he gave out to all the poor people, he gave out to everybody they should have what to eat. The kasha shol oisa Elio, now you remember, Elio asked him, ma karo lecha, uma asisi lecha. What did I do to you? What are you doing? What did I do, Elio? What did I do to you? I just passed my coat. What did I do to you? Masisulcha. Heshiv, he answered. Oy, asisuli harbim oy. Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka says, I can't explain, Rabbi, what you did. You did a lot. V'ozav es hayrov. V'ratz achrov. Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka says, he left his family and he went running. And for the rest of his life, as long as Elio Navi was alive, Elisha couldn't detach himself, couldn't go away anymore. Until finally he received twice the power of his Rebbe. So Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka says, He says, Kain b'mori v'rabi ha-rebi rabunim. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with my Rebbe Rabunim. Kshelokachis yad talmido liyado. When my Rebbe Rabunim, he says to Reb Shaila, when my Rebbe Rabunim would take into his hand the hand of someone that came to him, af me'ish poshet. Even if it was the hand of a poyer, a simple person, he says, like myself, which is not true. He wasn't a simple person. But even if he took into his hands the hand of a simple person, take it from a yad, nislahiv oisa ha'ish, that Jew would mamish immediately be filled with a fire. For his chaliboy levaya be Yiddishkeit, and the heart would go on fire with Yiddishkeit. At shirotzil and nashik as Hashem is baruch, till that Jew, all he wanted to do was to be able to give a kiss to Hashem. And never stop learning. And this Jew was ready to offer his life on the altar for Hashem. This was the great strength of my Rebbe, Rabbunim. That's what he meant by the comparison to Eliyahu Navi. And this we see the devotion to the Talmidim and the short span of time. It was a very short time from when he closed the shop, when he closed up the drugstore, to the time that he had all of Poland filled with shtiblach from Pshischa. All over Poland, there was shtiblach of Pshischa. And the Rebbe Rabunim was not b'shev al tase. He wasn't just satisfied with conquering his town of Pshischa. And they opened up shtiblach to teach the way of the Yidda Kaddish of the Holy Jew throughout all of Poland, shtiblach within a very short time, that were filled with chassidim hufabrent, who many of them only met the Rebbe Buddha maybe one yontiv, or maybe they spent a Shabbos, or they spent a few minutes in his presence. But it was with an eish lahava. This was like being touched by Eliyahu Navi. This was the koyach that the Rebbe Buddha had. I'll tell you another interesting thing. This resembles Chabad as well. That you know that the Misnagdim, those who were opposed to the Hasidim, among the non-Hasidim, in many cases in history, were not satisfied with stopping just by having fights and arguments among the Jews, but they actually went to the non-Jewish government. In the case of the Baal Tanya, it's very famous, and the Baal Tanya, what he went through was Sunutzi Tesh Kislev. That's famous, it's well known. This came as a result of Malshinus of Lashon Hara and disgusting things that were being spread by the Misnagdim. This unfortunately became the case with the Rebbe Rabunim, but it wasn't being done by the Misnagdim. It's sad how this the Chassidim were themselves the victims of the Misnagdim and that early generation of Chassidus. And then it was only 40, 50 years later that Chassidim were doing it to other Chassidim. And the Chassidim who were opposed to Pshischa, so they went to the government, they were making trouble. That they're leaving their families and they're not working and, you know, all kinds of things. But taxes, yeah, the same thing. All kinds of tsars. So it reached a point, and this is just, it's ironic because now it's coming from the Chassidim themselves. It reached a point where the government, the Polish government, called a hearing. This was a very serious matter in those days. that there was going to be a hearing to investigate the Chassidus of Pshischa. Just like years before with Chabad, that's a very dangerous thing that it could have caused a lot of tsars, not just to those Chassidim, but to the Jews in general. So there was a major inquiry, a hearing, that took place in Warsaw. And in the end, this is so interesting, Who were the ones that were subpoenaed to go? The Rebbe Rabunim himself had to go. And the one who was his greatest opponent had to go. Reb Meiril from Apt. We'll talk more about him in a little while. The author of the Sefer Or LaShamayim, who was a great tzaddik, who was the leader of the opponents to the Rabunim. Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah. And a great tzaddik. But he had it in for the Rebbe Rabunim in a very, very strong way, which we'll talk more about afterwards in a few minutes. So the two of them were brought to Warsaw. It was known that the Rebbe Rabunim had his way, and that the one who was most against the Rebbe Rabunim was the Or LaShamayim, was the Reb Meir from Apt. Not to be confused with the Ohev Yisrael. No, not the Apt Rav, after the Apt Rav. Although they saw each other. Reb Meir from Apt was not even a student of the Ohev Yisrael. He was from the same town of Apt, but it's not the Ohev Yisrael. We'll talk about him also in a few minutes. It's not the Ohev Yisrael. The Ohev Yisrael's name is Rabbi Avram Yeshua Heschel, right? That's the Ohev Yisrael. And this is Rabbi Meir Halevi.
They were not brothers.
No, just at from Apt. No. Rabbi Meir Halevi? No. The Ohev Yisrael was not a Levi. No, they weren't Mishpacha. Rabbi Avram Yeshua, Heschel was the Ohev Yisrael, and Rabbi Meir Halevi was the Ohel HaShamayim, was the Apt, was Rabbi Meir from Apt. He came from Apt. The Apt Rav only came to Apt at the end of his life. He was Rabbi in other cities before. But a lot of times it happened with Tzaddikim, that the last place that they were in, they called him by that. But Rabbi Meir was from Apt, the Ohel HaShamayim. He had a beautiful Svarm, a Choshev Svarm. But in this union with Pshischa, he was an Eish Lahavi, he was a fire against Pshischa. So the two of them were called to Warsaw, and you had to go. You couldn't send somebody else. So, listen to how interesting this is. And there was one other tzaddik, one other tzaddik who also was brought there, who was also one of those who was opposed to the Rebbe Rabbunim, Rav Moshe LeKozhnitzer, the son of the Kozhnitzer Magen, Rav Moshe LeYakim. These are great tzaddikim. Even though, whenever you read these things, it's painful, but their cheshem is l'shem shemayim. There are always some Jews that their cheshem is l'shem shemayim and there's a machlokas, and then there's the rest of the chevra. The rest of the chevra, we know about that inyan, that the rest of the chevra, so they're just looking for machlokas. It's l'shem shemayim,
Huh?
Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, okay, that's l'shem shemayim. But the rest of the people in Poland and Germany and in Austria that were tumulting, they had their own cheshbonos. So this is what took place. So the three tzaddikim, the Rebbe Abunim, and two of his opponents, the Apt, Rameir from Apt, and Rav Moshe LeKozhnitzer, were ordered to come to Warsaw for this hearing. The one who was the judge who was in charge of this hearing was a Chacham Nifla, was a brilliant jurist, a brilliant lawyer, whose name was Stanislav Staszitz. Stanislav Polish, a brilliant jurist. He might be one of the few in the history of Poland, right? Why am I telling you his name? What's Rabal Yichis is this, Stanislav Staszitz? He was an old man and considered to be the greatest genius in all of Poland. He was the one that sat led the hearing by the Balatanya. He was by the Balatanya's hearing. That's already a Meisah from many years before. So this came to him. And that was in Pressburg, but that was in Petersburg, in St. Petersburg. That was the hearing of the Balatanya. Now he's in Warsaw, this Stanislav Staszitz. So he asked questions and he listened to the tzaddikim. And we don't, unfortunately, have any transcript. We do have some of the conversations between the Balatanya and him, which were really amazing. Because the Balatanya had a photographic memory. So afterwards he went and wrote it down. He wrote down, but we don't have any records of this hearing. But after this Polish judge heard the tzaddikim, he said this. I mean, this is what it says in the Sefer. Obviously, he said in Polish, but he said this. He says, "Imki nirli shekulchem kedoshim." He said, "It seems to me that the three of you are holy people." He says, "Harav bunim hu gam chacham muflog karav miliadi." He says, "You're all holy people, but the wisdom," he says, "the chachma of this one, Rabbunim, reminds me of the wisdom of the Rav from Liadi." Who's the Rav from Liadi? The Alter Rebbe, the Tanya, that I was privileged to know. Who I was privileged. This comes from this Polish, right? And Mustan was not the Semit, but he had an appreciation for the wisdom of the Baal Tanya too. He was in awe of the Baal Tanya. He became released the Tanya, not only was the Tanya acquitted, but he became a fervent follower in certain ways. I mean, I don't mean to see this, but a supporter of the Baal Tanya afterwards. That he said that he never saw a human being that had such wisdom. And the Tanya's answers were always in three or four words, and then like they're all like, and he was the only one that chap. None of the other people that chap, and he was the only one that was able to chap. And he so they were like having this conversation in Russian, and then no one else was able to chap. So he said that I like all of you. You're holy people, but this one, Rebunim, he reminds me of the Rav from Liadi, who I was privileged to know. Also, Reb Yitzchak Vorka, Just to tell you a little bit more about this, the connection with Rav Yitzchak Vorka, because really we need, over the years we'll have different shiurim to talk about each of the tzaddikim, Mitzvah Shem. We still have to talk about the Rabbi Nachman and the Balat Tanya, Kedushas Levi, and the Melamach. These are I'm saving for the new building, Mitzvah Shem, I've told you. Because a lot of people ask me from the, how come you don't talk about the tzaddikim, the beginning, you know, the bread and butter. Since I said that has to be in Mitzvah Shem, and once we have the place, that'll be. But in the meantime, the Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, before he came to the Rebbe Abunim, he was a chassid. He had been by the Rebbe Ramotel Chernobler. Ramotel Chernobler was the son of the Morei Naim, or Rav Nachum Chernobler. And Ramotel was at that time considered to be the biggest, the zokin, the elder, the tzaddikim. And Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka was deeply attached to Ramotel Chernobler. However, he left Ramotel with 12 kashas. In other words, after all that he received from Ramotel Chernobler, he had 12 questions on the ways of Ramotel that were unanswered. They were unanswered. And Ramotel tried to talk to him, explain, and Rav Yitzchak Vorka, there were 12 in Yonim that Rav Yitzchak Vorka could not receive from Ramotel Chernobler. He had 12 kashas. So Ramotel Chernobler told him that he should go to Peshischa, to the new Rebbe there, the Rebbe Abunim, and speak to him. So nobody else knew this, of course, just the Rav Yitzchak Vorka and Ramotel Chernobler. And when he went to the Rebbe Abunim, so when he walked, Rav Yitzchak Vorka said that he came to the door, and the Rebbe Abunim was learning Gemara, and Rebbe Abunim looked up and he said, "You have 12 kashas in Ramotel van Yochel Taritzei Som, and I have the terutzim for you." Now Rav Yitzchak Vorka said that he wasn't expelled from Ruach HaKodesh. He said he saw very much a lot of Ruach HaKodesh. That didn't impress him. I mean, no one else in the world knew that. The Rebbe Abunim said, "You have 12 kashas, and I'll tell you the terutzim." He says that the fact that he knew that didn't shake him up, didn't impress him. But his terutzim, the answers of the Rebbe Abunim, he says that took him completely, and he became a Talmud. He became a student of Peshischa. That's the beginning of his Avaida. The story is that when Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, now he was also a tremendous Lamdan, when Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka came from Peshischa, who did he meet? He met Reb Mendel Tomashover, later on to be known as the Kotzker, Reb Mendel from Kotzker. He met Reb Mendel Tomashover, Kotzker. And Reb Mendel asked him, "May I in Basa?" You ask a Jew, the first thing he says, "No." "From where do you come? Where are you coming from?" So he said, "From Chernobyl. I was in Chernobyl." So the Kotzker asked him, "Umari Isa Shambi Chernobyl? No, what did you see, Taki, in Chernobyl? What did you see over there, by Ramotel?" So he answered Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, listen to this, Ra'isi Sham Shulchan Tish Baal Shem Tivdik. I saw by Ramotel Chernobyl a table that was Baal Shem Tivdik. I don't know what that means. But it was a Baal Shem Tivdik table. In other words, he saw something, a Hemshech, a continuation from Baal Shem. Baal Shem Tivdik a tish, a Baal Shem Tivdik a table, he saw. So the Kotzke said, "Atari," you know, you can get the last word in the Kotzke ever, right? So he said, "Atari is a sham shulchan yashon shal meyev hamishim shon." You were zeichet to see a table, an old table, 150 years old. The Baal Shem Tivdik. You were zeichet to see a Baal Shem Tivdik a tish, 150 years old. Vanachnu kan, he says, but here in Peshischa, if you come here in Peshischa, you're going to see things that are 6,000 years old from the time of Bereishis, not 150 years old. Ma'isei Bria Shamayim V'aretz Mamish. You will see the creation of heaven and earth itself. Mi Bara Kol Eila Mamish. And you learn to know the one who created all of this. Which is not chutzpah against the Baal Shem Tov, God forbid. It was saying by Chernobyl you were zeichet to see from the Baal Shem Tov, but if you come here to Peshischa, you're going to see from Bereishis, from the beginning, which is mistam what the Baal Shem Tov saw. But it's worn off. The basic message there is that the way of the Baal Shem Tov was growing stale, and this is what we spoke about. Not the Chalila Baal Shem Tov himself, but the Derech Baal Shem Tov. Like it is with any revolution, I've spoken about this many times. You spoke about the Yid HaKadosh also, that the revolution is exciting, everybody's into it. Then once it becomes part of life, how do you keep the fire burning? That's the hardest thing in the world, is to keep a fire burning when it already become part of life. In the beginning, when there was a tremendous isnagdus to the Chassidim, so then things were happening. It was exciting. It was labedik, and it was something new. It was something so original. It shocked the whole system. But then the question is, what over time, Chassidus was itself becoming tarnished and old. So the Kotzke was saying that if over here, Pshischa, we're talking about creation. Come here and you're going to see what happened at the beginning. And that really sums up what the Chassidim felt when they came to Pshischa. They felt that it was something new and something extraordinary. They felt not the Baal Shem Tov's diketish, not the table, but they felt the Baal Shem Tov himself, mamish, starting again, the whole thing starting again. And here, it's an interesting story. We can end with a story before we talk next week. Oh, not next week. I'll be away, Mitzvah Shem, in 2 weeks, about the Hisnagdus. One time, the Rebbe Abunim also, we have some wonderful, you know, we have a lot of wonderful stories from there, because he was an avid walker. He loved going for walks. Every day, the Rebbe Abunim would go for walks. And some of the most delicious stories and stories we have is when he would never go by himself. And would say, that was the biggest schus to go for that walk. That was a big thing to go for a walk. I was zeichet to see, on more than one occasion, I was zeichet to see, not to go for a walk with, but to see, I remember the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe. When I was in Yerushalayim, so I remember the Ger Rebbe used to go, if you know the Ger Beis Medrash, the old Beis Medrash is Malchi Yisrael, right? And Gula, the old Beis Medrash. So the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe used to go for walks early in the morning. Very early in the morning, he used to go for a walk. Also, every day he went for a walk with a silver cane. And some people, he had to go there. It was like 4:45, 5 in the morning. You know, so people were like hiding to take a look, you know, behind buildings or from a window someone would be looking at. And the Beis Yisrael, because anywhere else he went during the day, it was like 10,000 people around him. You couldn't even get near him. So the Beis Yisrael, and I was lucky to see on two occasions that I went there to see. I went there and then I went to Davin by the Kaisel, but I wanted to stop off to see. And it was like the Beis Yisrael, like his father, like the Imramis, you could set your clock. It was so meduyuk to the second. And the Beis Yisrael came out and he went with his silver cane. And right across, you know, there's an army base. I was zeichet twice, I saw that a soldier was waiting there to meet him, and the Rebbe Abunim would go and hold the soldier's arm, and he would go with a silver cane, and they would walk all the way down Malchi Yisrael. I saw this twice. He had their meetings with a lot of the chevru. They were not from, but the non-religious chevru. That people stopped, didn't know that he was makar of many, many of this chevru. Everybody's screaming about this is no good, that's no good. The Beis Yisrael was taking walks with these soldiers up and down before the sun was coming up in Yerushalayim. That I was zeichah myself twice to see such a thing. So we have some amazing, important stories from walks that Tzaddikim took. So the Kotzke, we have here a walk that he took with the Kotzke. And the good thing was that these people never forgot anything. Like, you know, if someone would take a walk, you know, if you take a walk, we'd forget, like, I don't remember. But these people all remembered everything. So he said, the Kotzke said that he was walking once with the Rebbe Abunim. And it began to pour mamish, pouring rain. So the Rebbe Abunim says that they had to go under something. And the Rebbe Abunim davened, he davened the Rebbe Abunim that the rain should stop. It should stop raining. So the Kotzke asked, he said, I asked the Rebbe. Ha'isa b'gemar, it says in the Gemara Yuma, v'alti konis lefenecha tefilas ayvei drachim. The Kohen Gadol davening Yom Kippur also when he was inside. Right? Hashem, please don't listen to the prayers of the travelers, the ayvei drachim, the one who are going on the paths. Don't listen to them, that it should stop raining. Because the people are traveling, they don't want it to rain. They need the business people, they have to travel. So the Kohen Gadol used to ask, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Which the Gay Rebbe himself said, nobody would ever daven that. How could a Jew daven that it shouldn't rain? It gives panosah for everybody. But don't listen to what they're thinking of daven. You know, in their hearts, don't listen to that. Because inside, they really wish it wasn't raining. So the Kotzke asked the Rebbe, how can you daven that it should stop raining? What kind of thing is that? So listen to this. So the Rebbe answered, the Rebbe Abunim said like this. He says, Yesh Hevdel, there's a difference. Ben Ayvrei Drachim, Lahalche Drachim. The Gemara says that the davening was, don't listen to the tefillah, the prayers of the Ovrei Drachim. The ones who are passing over the paths, the pathways. But that's not the same thing as the ones who are walking on the paths. What? He said, Oivrei Drachim, the ones who are the Oivrei Drachim. Hey, Manoshim Ha'ivrim, Yimokim Lamokim. These are people that their tachlis is, right now, I'm in Krakow and I have to get to Lublin. I don't care about, I wish I didn't have to pass by this village, that village. That's not my tachlis. I have no other way. If I have to get from Lublin, from Krakow to Lublin, I gotta pass by these places. Those are called the Ovrei Drachim. That's why the word Lavur. Passing over the places. There's a difference. Ovrei Drachim, no shema, ovrei makom lemakom. Because they have to get from point A to point B. They're not interested in the derech. They don't want the derech. They don't want all those little shtetlach in between. They don't want the steps in between. They don't want the people that they meet in between. That's not their inyan. All that interests them is to get to the place that they have to go. And the Rebbe Abunim said, and if it were possible for a human being to fly, hayutasim, they would skip over the place. Anoshim elu nikroim ovrei drachim. These people are called ovrei drachim, the ones who pass over the pathways. And that's what the Kohen Gadol daven. Don't listen to these people who are just worried about getting from one city to another city to do their business. Don't listen to them about to stop the rain. Lo kenim holche drachim. Rabbi Abunim said that's not the same thing as someone who's a hoylech drachim. Not passing over the pathways, but walking on the pathways. What's the difference? Elum is kavnum l'derech atzma. Their intention is not to get from Krakow to Lublin, from point A to point B. Their intention is the derech itself, the path itself, what's along the path, and to fix and to repair and to uplift and to sanctify all the steps along the way. Hayashlam hi aderech atzma. Their destination is every step itself. And every step that they take, chashuvah hi b'nehem, is important in their eyes. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. It's talking about oivrei drachim, not holchei drachim. V'nachnu, the Rebbe would have ended the kotzka said and said, mihasug shel holchei drachim. I'm not an oivrei derech in this world. It's a very deep inyan. I'm not someone who's passing over places in this world. That's not my inyan. How do I get from here to get to there? And I pass over. He says, no. He says, I'm a hoylech derech. I'm one who has to walk every step along the way. I have something to accomplish. I mean, you hear what you could say from this inyan. Every step along the way. It's not just to get somewhere. Can you imagine? All of our life since first grade is only because maybe, you know, this way you'll get to eighth grade. If you're going to start up, you're not going to get to eighth grade. Or you won't get into a good high school. Then you won't get there. Everything is to get weiter, because you have to get somewhere. No one ever says, this step, this moment, this second in your life is filled with meaning. It's always, when you'll be married, it'll be taka good. And then, you know, when you'll have kids. Or in Eish Kodesh, our motto is, when we have the new building. Right? So everybody has their when we will have it in life. And then it'll be good then. But Rabbi Rabunim says, I'm not from the Oivet Drachim. That's not my life. He says, I'm a Hoylech. I'm walking through this world. And the one who's a hoylech drachim, every step is filled with importance and with meaning. Therefore he says, now the rain is stopping me. I can't, because it's a downpour. I have steps I have to take right now. Therefore I'm allowed to daven that the rain should stop. And the Kotzke said, and when he finished saying that, the rain stopped. And
that was the,
it was an unexpected rain. Look. What do you think? They had hardware. They had a hardware store sitting on the corner. They were in the middle of nowhere. So they were schlepping somewhere. There's nowhere to go. When it rained over there, you know, even if you've been in places, you've been zeichet to be in places. I was in the Ukraine. I was zeichet to be in the Ukraine where there was a downpour. We were on the way to Mezhbuz, to the Baal Shem Tov's aisle. And there was a rain over there. In 1 minute, it wasn't the stam that it was like here, you know, we were inconvenienced. It was like walking through a yamsev. The mud, it was impossible to go anywhere. It was impossible. It's not like here. So so the Musa Haskel is that we should be zeichet to be ivrei drachim, not just, we should be zeichet to be holchei drachim. That's a big musa, to be holchei drachim in life, that every step is appreciated and every step is important, not, God forbid, just to be ivrei drachim, who are always looking to get someplace else, but this moment doesn't have the chashiva. So, in Mitzvah, we'll continue. not next Monday, but the following Monday. Shkoyim.